This episode is sponsored by the On With Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns' podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have Future Think's very own Lisa Bedell. She is here giving us a preview of her upcoming keynote at the Origins Lending Tech Live. It's entitled Get to the Work That Matters, How Simplification Drives Change and Innovation. Great stuff here from Lisa, so check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, oh my gosh, we are so honored to have Lisa Bedell from Future Think. Lisa, how are you today? Good to see you.
Good, Michael. Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Well, thank you. Yeah, likewise. Glad to have you on the show. We're having you here for a good reason, not just because you're a great human being, but you're also going to be the keynote at Origins' 2024 Lending Tech Live this summer in San Diego, California.
In San Diego. I can't wait. And we were just talking. I just came from there. So it's going to be so fun to get back there. And what a great place, right? What a great venue for the event.
Not too bad. We'll dial up some sunshine for you, for sure.
Please.
Hey, but before we get into some of your highlights of your presentation, tell us a little bit about yourself and what your focus will be in your presentation.
Yeah, so I'm going to be talking about getting rid of complexity, which is a topic that is, great. I mean, it's not just specific to credit unions, but it's, it's kind of agnostic. Everyone wrestles with complexity. And the reason for that isn't just to be more productive, but it's to get to more meaningful work. And I think that's what people are really struggling with, is that they are just drowning in minutiae and unnecessary things. And they're not doing the things that they were hired to do. They're not being able to get to the things that they're supposed to be doing. Right. And it's not their fault. It's just there's too much. So we want to start talking about subtraction and simplicity as a way to get people on offense. And I think people are going to love it. It's going to be really practical, tactical, and they're going to get some time back. And that's really what it's about. Yeah.
If we can get some time back, Lisa, that will be a great thing, I think. So.
that's the dream. That's the hope.
And the title of your talk is called, it's Get to the Work That Matters, How Simplification Drives Change and Innovation. So what inspired you to focus on simplification as a competitive advantage, especially in today's very complicated corporate landscape?
Well, that actually, it's funny because I own a simplification innovation training business, but it started as innovation because, I've always been a very creative person. I'm good at creative problem solving. So is my team. And people needed help with that. And we noticed when we were going out and training people on it, it wasn't that they weren't able to do it, it's that they didn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we could come up with a million ideas, but it didn't matter. They were all going to die in that conference room.
Yeah.
Because no one had the time to activate them. And what it really made me realize, Michael, is that the front end of innovation isn't new ideas. It's creating the space for the ideas to happen in the first place.
Thank you.
So, I think that's a really great message to send people, which is you can have all the brainstorms you want, but if people don't have time to think before they get there, they're just going to be stressed. So we've got to create space for thinking to happen.
Completely. So can you elaborate a little bit on the concept of meaningful work and how it relates to driving innovation?
Yeah, 100%. So, we all have that the work that matters. And those are the things that either get us to our KPIs or OKRs, depending on how you measure everything. They're the things that you get bonused on at the end of the year. They're the reason that give you purpose, right, at work. No one gets up every day and says, I can't wait to write emails and I can't wait to sit in meetings, right? But there we are. So but what they do want to be able to doing is more external things. The things about, it's coming up with a life-saving drug, it's coming up with some kind of new rocketry, it's meeting with your clients and coming up with a new idea.
Yeah.
It's all the external stuff, people can't get to it. And that's why simplifying is so important, because the unnecessary work of the time sucks.
Yeah.
And if we can get rid of that, we can do the more meaningful things.
Right. And that makes you a much more creative person, a much more fulfilling day at work, so to speak. So
all the things, all the things, it just has such a compounding effect. And we actually, we talk to people about defining meaningful work, because that even has become a cliche. I need more time for meaningful work. Well, have you defined what that means to your teams? And that's something we're going to talk about when I'm at the conference coming up here, because I think people make it a real shallow statement. And if you don't actually align on what meaningful work is, they won't know that it's okay to get rid of things. In fact, they'll be scared to do it.
Yeah.
So they will, because we don't want to get rid of something like our boss came up with and liked, right? We want to make sure that we're getting rid of things that are unnecessary and take away from the meaningful stuff. And we'll show people how to do that.
Okay, good, good. And that kind of leads me to my next question here. So in your experience, what are some common complexities that hinder innovation within organizations? Because I know like Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting, or just meeting after meeting, that can kind of sometimes stifle creativity a little bit. So
yeah,
what have you seen out there?
That's part of it. I mean, you just hit on a really important topic. A lot of it is the work of work. So it's the meetings, the emails, the policies, the procedures, the unnecessary steps, the redundant reports, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that gets in the way. But really, what people don't realize about complexity is we often create it and don't realize it. And we do that because we don't challenge the way that we work. We just follow the status quo. That actually continues complexity. We think of getting rid of complexity too big. We focus on our sphere of influence, not on our sphere of control.
Okay.
So one of the things we talk about with people is, tell me how much complexity you have at work. Everyone says they have a lot. Well, what's driving the complexity? And what they really tell you are the things that are everyday things. You know, yes, they might be from a regulated industry, credit unions. Mm-hmm. Yes, they might have a metrics organization. But when you actually come down to it, what takes up their time are the things that are generated by their team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we can focus on our sphere of control and get rid there, you know, charity starts at home, then you can kind of cast out and do bigger things in terms of getting time back. That's good news, actually, because a lot of it is in our control.
Yep, no doubt. Or just give it to ChatGPT. It'll take care of it, right?
I'm not laughing. That saves you a ton of time, right? That's an accelerator. That's a productivity tool. But this is a little different, right? That helps you do more with the existing time. But we want to actually get some of your time back by getting rid of things as well.
Exactly. So
there's a bonus. Yeah, there's a bonus and a benefit.
Okay, well, that segues perfectly in my next question here. So you mentioned these work hacks to reduce meetings and processes and all the emails that we got to take care of. So can you share maybe a practical hack or two just to kind of whet our appetite?
100%. Kill stupid rules. We run kill a stupid rules sessions with teams, and they're incredibly freeing. Ready? Here's how it works, Michael. It's really complex. If you could kill any two rules at work that would help you be more innovative or better do your job,
mm-hmm.
what would they be?
Me personally right now? Oh gosh, probably email time. I'm thankful that I get emails, but oh my gosh, it's just it's a never ending river of them. So, but at the same time, I'm like, hey, I'm really thankful that they're coming in. So I'm kind of at a fork in the road with when it comes to emails, that type of stuff.
All right,
so love, hate.
You just exemplified exactly what happens. When we give teams, I was just doing this at a conference a couple days ago, when we give teams the time and space to actually say what they get rid of, they come up with just dozens and dozens of ideas. But what's fascinating and what you just said here is it's often not rules. I mean, email is a rule, is it?
No.
So it's typically a habit. It's a behavior.
Okay.
And so what's interesting is that when we talk with people, what that does is that unearths what are the things that are really holding us back. So it's how we send our emails, when we send our emails, how can we improve our emails? That's it's meetings. Right. It's can we put our meetings on a time diet? Could we start thinking in terms of inviting the least amount of people versus as many people?
Everybody. Yeah, right.
So there's ways that we can actually, you know, putting things on time diets, reducing the number of people, having agendas that start with questions rather than statements so they get people thinking and are more productive. Mm-hmm. Those are little hacks that start to come up when you do these kill the stupid rule sessions. A lot of times people come up with things that are complete time sucks and everyone looks at each other and says, let's stop doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
We just didn't know that was a problem. It aligns people and lets them agree. So that's one way, killing stupid rules. And then there's little tactics we'll talk about, like putting things on a time diet, et cetera,
yeah,
that they'll get their time back quickly.
Yeah, I've heard that the time diet thing is really, because you kind of allow certain hours for creativity, certain hours for emails or the mundane type stuff or the stuff that you can give to ChatGPT or whatever. So
yeah, or even more.
Allocation.
Yeah. Well, it's allocation. That's like time box. But also, 30 is the new 60 and 15 is the new 30. And I think it's getting people comfortable with, you don't have to fill the space. I think when you actually give people constraints, they are better with their time.
Yeah.
When you give people too much, they're not so good with their time.
So true. Oh my gosh. So true. So true. All right. I know you have, your time is short here, but I want to wrap it up here with what impact do you hope the audience will have from your session? What, or what, maybe what's a big takeaway, or what do you hope to, what do you hope they walk away with?
Well, first of all, I want them to realize that a lot of complexity is self-imposed and unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I also want them to realize that they have a lot more control over it than they realize if they focus on their sphere of control.
Yep.
And all I want them to do is try one of the tips I give them. So it's going to be a very practical, provocative speech that makes them really question their habits,
mm-hmm.
start getting comfortable with challenging work. And if they just leave by trying one of the things, they will start to get back a few hours each week immediately.
Yeah. And it'll be infectious in a good way, right? Because then they'll kind of see, they'll see some improvements and they go, oh, that works. So let's try something, you know, so.
You know what you just said? That's interesting. I tell people the cool thing about killing complexity is when one group sees another group do it, they get jealous. And that's a good thing.
Yes, they do.
You know, why can't I do that? And that's a healthy envy. And that's what you want, because that's how it becomes contagious. Because the answer to that is when someone says, why can't I do that? My answer is, who said you couldn't?
Right.
We just never think that getting rid of things is okay. Mm-hmm. And this is going to put that as part of the culture. Subtraction is something we need to start doing.
I love it. Oh my gosh, Lisa, I can't wait till June 27th here in San Diego when you're going to be on stage and giving us these keys to working better. So yeah, I love it. I can't wait. Can't wait.
Awesome.
Anything else to add, Lisa, before I let you get going?
No, I'm really excited to be there. I think it's the perfect topic for the perfect time, and people are going to get a lot out of it. Lots to think about and lots to be able to do to make their lives better when they leave. I'm excited.
Agreed. Me too. All right. Can't wait. All right, Lisa. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And look forward to seeing you in the summer. It's going to be great.
See you soon. Thank you so much for having me.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On With Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.